Middleware in ASP.NET MVC allows you to execute code on either side of an application request. Filtering in ASP.NET Core MVC allows you to execute code on either side of a request. Let's mash on that. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the ASP.NET Monsters. Today we're going to be talking about the differences between middleware and filters. They both seem like something that you would use to alter the request that's coming in. And that's correct. Let's talk a little bit about how these work. I'm going to open up my favorite engineering design software, MS Paint. This is a great tool. You should get yourself a copy of it as soon as possible. What I'm going to talk about here is kind of we're going to talk about the request pipeline a little bit. So let's say that there is a piece of middleware in our application, and there actually are. In fact, we compose our pipeline with a set of middleware to various pieces of middleware to configure our application, to lay out the pieces of our flow of our application in some ways. You can think of the execution of a request as kind of like one of those Russian dolls inside of dolls things that they've got. And we've talked about middleware before, and MVC itself is actually wrapped up and served via configured middleware. So the execution pipeline kind of starts, and we've got some entry middleware, and then there's another layer of middleware and another layer of middleware, and then eventually the routing middleware kicks in and our request comes in, goes into the MVC pipeline, things happen, and then our request starts coming back out. And why that's important to understand is that while that gives us an opportunity to control execution flow, and we've looked at the implementation of middleware for the purposes of authentication before, when it comes to a specific aspect of the application, a global authentication isn't enough. We need authorization. Something has to happen at a more finer grain scale. So if we consider that there's these different pieces of middleware that happen, and then eventually the routing middleware kicks in. Each one of these is kind of a piece of middleware, okay? And I'll just throw the MVC bucket down in here. So these bits are used by the pipeline. Throw it in Arial Black. That'll be a little bit more easy to read. There we go. So MVC eventually kicks in down here somewhere. And what'll happen is that a request will come into the pipeline. And let me just pick a different color here. And it will proceed, it will progress through each one of these steps of middleware. And depending on what the middleware says to do, the application will either proceed to the next piece of middleware, or it can short circuit. Let's say this is a bad request. Well, right here, the application can say, okay, cancel the rest of the execution of the pipeline, and nothing else will happen. So right away, you can see we don't even make it into MVC. So grander concerns that happen for the benefit of the application, but don't require the context of MVC, this is the perfect way to do it, and you should probably use middleware. But if a different request comes in to the pipeline and it happens to succeed through all of these things and it makes its way into the MVC pipeline, then how do we deal with that finer grain control? How do we become aware of the mechanics and the context of MVC and then modify the pipeline, the request, the headers, whatever we want? How do we do that inside of the context of MVC? And then, of course, the important thing to realize, the answer there is filters. That's where we do the filters. But the important thing to realize is that on the other side of this request execution, the middleware will return back up through here. And so you could actually still get out of the MVC pipeline, out of the routing middleware, out of whatever other middleware is configured, and then have something go sideways, and you'd end up not returning what was actually rendered in MVC. So we haven't eliminated the need for other middleware by putting filters in place, and we haven't sidestepped them or avoid them necessarily, they can still short circuit our request. And so these types of things need to be thought of. We have to consider that before and after a request, middleware still comes into play. Let's now zoom in on how these things work. I'm going to pop in. I've got a middleware class. We're doing an async approach here, and I've just done a couple of small little bit of wiring here just to kind of demonstrate what's going on. And all I've done is really injected a logger factory. Logging's been pre-configured already. And you can see this is the key to making everything else work. So if we go back to that simple diagram, my middleware might just be represented as, let me clean this up just a little bit. Clean, there we go. My middleware in this particular case might be more like this. And what's happening is my middleware happens, the MVC bits happen, and then the request comes back through. So in this particular context, here's the before. Here is all of the other middleware that's configured, including the routing middleware, by way we've got access to the MVC pipeline. And then finally, we've got this after. So I can do whatever I want to do here, understanding and bounded by the limits of the HTTP context. Now, there are ways that I can kind of surf through and figure things out, and I can wire things up. But if I want more granular control, then I'm going to have to dive in a little bit deeper. So how does that look? Well, I'm going to have a look. I've got two samples here in this project. One is a synchronous approach, and one is an asynchronous approach. And in the synchronous version, I have it implemented using on action executing and on action executed. In the async version, I have a single version, and it looks a lot more like middleware, right? We've got the logger.log information, logger.log information. So this is the before, this is the after, and this is any other filters that have to take place. Now, an action filter, and there's actually several different types of filters in the MVC space, but an action filter is interesting because we've got this context of the request that's being invoked. So you can see here, if I have a look at the context, I have everything from the action descriptor, that I know which controller I'm on, I can see what filters are available and what information is provided through metadata. I have access to the HTTP context as I did in middleware, but I've also got these other interesting things like the result, the routing data. I have access to the model state, so I can inspect to see if somebody has passed in a valid model. All of these things are provided to me because the class has already been constructed. The model binding has already happened and all of those kinds of things. And because I'm inside a controller, my code can now have access to everything that's inside of this context as well, as though I were inside the action itself. However, this happens before and after the execution of the action. So over here in my sync filter, I have a before and an after. Now, I want to point out something here. The action filter attribute, if I go to the description of it, the definition of it, we'll see that it's actually kind of a bit of a busybody. It implements an ordered filter, an iasync result filter, a result filter, an action filter, both synchronous and not. It also is an attribute, which means that we can use this if we wanted to directly on an action, as we did with filters, for example, like the authorize filter in other aspects of our code or in other circumstances for our code. However, in this particular case, I've got dependencies and I want to inject them. So I have wired it up a little bit differently. And what I'm talking about here is that you might see something like this where we would do an authorize filter just like that. And that would, it's an action filter that taps into the authentication middleware and makes sure that it inspects whether the person has a valid sign-in token for the authorization scheme that we currently have. I'm not going to go that route here because I've got dependencies in my controller. So I need to rely more on the MVC framework. And what I do instead to wire that up is right here. I add a scoped version. So there's a new instance per request of the action filter asynchronous version and the synchronous version. And just for completedness, here is the use sample middleware, which I also have in this project, which we looked at the start. And I just have an extension method here that works off of iApplication Builder in order for me to register using the same pattern that's used throughout the ASP.NET Core framework. Okay, so going back to my controller, I'm using a service filter. So this is a filter that's provided by the dependency injection framework, and I ask for a specific type. This is where that registration comes in, because I've configured up here my add scoped instance of a sample async action filter, and I've got my sample async action filter, which implements an iAction filter. This is one of the interfaces that was in that definition of the action filter attribute. So this is just a different approach, but same idea. I've got a constructor here. I've got my dependencies laid out, and then just some simple code, which allows me to participate in the execution pipeline. So let's switch over to the console here really quickly, and I will do a, let me just save everything, and I will do a .NET run, which will get our app up and running. And because I've got the logging at each of the different steps, we will be able to see some interesting messages here. So application started, I'm just going to refresh the request, and there goes all of the code, or the logging from the code, and everything seems to be done. So here we go. We have the middleware happens. This is the before and after. Now remember, we've got code executing before and after the request. And so this is the pipeline. This is outside of the MVC framework. Middleware happens before. Now my constructor is initialized. Then we see the sync filter, which happens. This is the before code. This is the async filter before code. My controller action executes. I see the after of the async filter, which is paired right there. Outside of that is the sync filter. There and there, and then finally the middleware after happens, which was where we were before when we started. So let me pop back over to the code, and we'll have a look at exactly what happened when we look at it from the view, the vantage point of the home controller. So my controller has no idea about the middleware that has actually happened. It doesn't know that there is the sample middleware running that's doing the logging before and after. Even though I have the sample action filter registered at the class level, the class initialization happens before, you can see this here, the controller constructor initializes here before the sync filter is even executed. And the reason for that, again, is because these filters need to operate against the actions, the methods on the class. So the class has to be instantiated, and then using the metadata from the class, the pipeline actually figures out, okay, which is the correct order in which I want to run these filters. And unless you actually give it the metadata required to specify the order of your filter, then it will just assume the order in which those filters were registered. So the sync filter was registered up here, and the async filter was in line as an attribute on the action itself. And therein lies the big difference for the middleware. Again, the middleware and the filters. The middleware is aware of the application pipeline, not even aware of it. It participates in the application pipeline, allowing us to exit when we don't need to continue execution for any number of reasons. But then it also differs because it doesn't have the context of the MVC pipeline. So in this particular case, I can inspect things at a filter level. I can be aware of whatever is happening in the MVC execution. And so the differentiator and what you will use to decide whether or not the code you're trying to operate with is, okay, a couple of questions you can ask yourself. Do I need to be aware of the MVC components, the artifacts of, for example, the routing information? Do I need to know about the controller or metadata about the action that I'm on? And if so, you probably need to be in a filter. If you are more concerned about the flow and the execution, maybe it's responding to headers. Maybe it is some kind of pre-routing mechanism that you've got in place that is custom and satisfies the need on your project. Those kinds of things can be done before it even goes into the MVC pipeline. And there you have it. Those are basically the differences and some of the questions you can ask yourself in order to decide whether you're going to be writing middleware or filters. And that pretty much wraps it up. So thanks again for watching. If you have comments, questions, or would like to share, we do invite you to do so. If you do ask a question or leave a comment, we will read it here on the show, or we will read them all. We promise to read them all. And those that we read here on the show, we will reward with stickers of the ASP.NET Monsters, from the ASP.NET Monsters, as we will for Programazing, who left a comment here saying, I'd love a sticker if you're still giving them away. And we are. So reach out to us, Programazing, on Twitter. Follow us and send us a DM with your contact information. We will follow you back and we will get you those stickers in the mail. Thank you, everyone, again. And join us next time on the next episode of the ASP.NET Monsters.